at the end of the day, you have to allow yourself to not be defined by a destination. I keep telling people, it's good to have goals. It's good to have a destination that's not solid on the map. Allow yourself to take the opportunities that come to you.
Welcome to Be More, a podcast by Peakon. This is where everyone at an organization can hear different and meaningful perspectives on how we can all thrive in this ever-changing and constantly evolving world of work. I'm your host, Patrick Cornoyer. I have a question for you. Do you have a mentor? Or are you a mentor for someone in your personal or professional life? I feel that many of you immediately say, yes, and I love the relationship that I have with my mentor or with my mentee. And many of you probably stop and think, you know, I could really use a mentor. Today, Wagner Denuzzo and I are speaking about personal and professional mentorship, the importance of these relationships, and how mentorship has changed quite significantly over the past few years. Wagner is a passionate leader focused on developing people. He has built an impressive career over the past 20 years and is currently the vice president and head of capabilities for Future of Work at Prudential Financial. Over the next 30 minutes, Wagner shares his personal story of growth, development, and being both a mentor and a mentee throughout his journey. And I am sure you will feel inspired by his passion, as I did throughout the conversation. Wagner, thank you so much for joining the conversation today.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me, Patrick.
I'm excited. I am very passionate about the topic that we're going to discuss today, which is, as you know, all about mentorship. I feel that having an amazing mentor in someone's career is really important. And I know that you have similar passions. So let's jump right in and let's start out a little bit about you. Can you tell us a bit about your path and your career in a couple of minutes and how mentorship and development of people became a passion of yours?
Thank you so much. And my career had a trajectory that's a little less linear than most. I came as an immigrant to the United States. So coming to a new country without English, no money, and trying to start a life, it was really challenging. And in a way, it gave me an incredible opportunity to become so much more empathic towards everybody I work with now. Because I started as a busboy, I had finished college in Brazil, and I came, and starting as a busboy after you finish college is not really the path that you expect. But it was interesting that at every step, I had somebody who guided me towards success. And the idea that I always keep in my mind is that a mentor has always to get out of themselves to really experience the life of others. So the reality of the mentee, the reality of the people you're trying to help is so important. I remember I was working in restaurants for many years to learn English before I started my professional career. And I remember a Canadian colleague of mine said, you know, you have so much potential, but you need to understand better vocabulary is going to give you better opportunity. So he gave me a book about increasing my vocabulary. I will never forget, I still have that book, and that was many, many years ago, but I still have that book because he took interest in my success. That's what mentorship is to me. So I start my career, my real professional career, as a social worker. I start working with HIV and AIDS at that time when things were really difficult, but I quickly position myself to become a psychotherapist, a counselor in an employee assistance program. And in the employee assistance program, you're faced with so many people telling you so many of the real life stories that happen in corporate America and beyond that I realized that I needed to do more. So I became an HR consultant. I became an executive coach. I became somebody who were always interested in helping others. And along the way, I became part of IBM after I worked on my own for a few years. At IBM, I had a mentor who always helped me understand how can you position your passion for success and pay attention to what others expect of you and what the perceptions that you create about yourself in the workplace. And I remember clearly this one because I'm a little provocative in the workplace. I'm not the regular HR leader that you see every day. And I remember him saying, after his strategy meeting on diversity, he said to me, "Wagner, you have to understand, you have great ideas and you're very provocative. It's really good for us to advance the thinking. But when you say things that surprises people, these leaders get surprised, and it's not the best reception that they're going to have of what you're saying. So pay attention to that. You might be saying something that's important, but how people are perceiving what you say is even more important. So mentoring to me is moments of impact. There are moments that mentors really make a difference in your life and you never forget. Those are the greatest mentors, to be honest.
Wagner, we have a very similar experience with our mentors helping us with communication. About 18 years ago, when I was young in my professional career, my mentor really helped me with understanding how to effectively use my voice and my passion in a productive way. And that was actually centered around a situation that I did not handle very well. And in my head, I thought that I was, but he cared enough about my future and cared enough about, you know, giving me some really honest feedback that helped me so much. And I still remember that conversation today. I remember what I learned from that conversation, and I still use the elements that he shared with me to this day. And I thank him for being honest with me, and that relationship continued and still continues. I could pick up the phone today and call him and ask him for feedback. So very much a shared experience. I'm curious, these mentors that you talk about in your career, did you seek them out or did they reach out to you? Because I think that is something people struggle a little bit with. Do they ask somebody to be their mentor? Do they wait? How do they identify the right type of mentor? I mean, there's a lot of questions there, but first let's start with, how did you find these mentor relationships in your career?
So to me, it was very difficult asking for help. I'm very introverted and I was very shy in the beginning of my career. So to me, it was more of a passive asking for help. But people also offer me help, and that was great. I learned how to receive the help with feedback and all that. But for those of us who are introverts, what I say is always approach somebody offering them something. Because anytime I try to connect with somebody for help or for a mentoring relationship, I always approach them knowing who they are and offering them something positive about what interests them. But to me, it's very important to start empowering people to seek those mentors. And sometimes people say, "Oh, I already have a mentor. I don't have a good relationship with that mentor. I don't feel that I can just say goodbye to this one to enter a new relationship." In my view nowadays, everything is simultaneous, everything's dynamic. And to be honest, you need multiple mentors because mentors cannot be everything to yourself. I equate this to your husband or your partner or anybody or a spouse. They cannot be everything to you. That's why you have to expand your network because you're going to gain something from different people. And that's how credible you become by the amount of input that you receive and how much feedback you allow yourself to receive in using your career. So I tell people, have multiple mentors.
Do you think that a mentor can be, or that most mentors are, personal and professional mentors for people?
I don't know if they are, but they must be. Yeah. What I've been telling a lot of my teams and everybody, I do a lot of coaching circles. For example, one modality of mentorship should be people helping and mentoring each other. So it's not a mentoring before was always related to somebody with more experience, mentoring somebody with less experience. To me right now, a mentor could be a colleague. A mentor could be somebody who reverse mentoring works really well as well. So now I'm testing the idea of coaching circles. It's a different modality. So you put people through a series of 8 sessions, and each session is a topic related to career success. They can really help each other build that kind of expertise and empowerment that sometimes is even better than having just one individual in your life. So now you have a circle of psychological safety, and now people can share a little more in exchange. So I do believe you cannot put a boundary between personal and professional, because nowadays what people are lacking is connection. People are really seeking connections over content. And for mentors who are not comfortable with that, I suggest that mentors start understanding that people don't want you to be perfect. What people want is just connection with somebody who has the same vulnerabilities that they have. It's because some mentors still believe that they need to be perfect as the guide, you know, as the lighthouse. Actually, the lighthouse is not a good metaphor, because it's static, it's heavy, and stays in the same place. Sometimes to help navigate the waters of professional lives, corporate America, you need to move in and adapt to whatever your person is. If you have a mentee who needs support professionally, you're there. But if they need some mental health support because they're experiencing too much anxiety, you have to be a listener. And it's hard for mentors to do that. That's why I think mentors, reverse mentoring works really well, because mentors need some help as well.
As a senior leader, I mean, you've had an incredibly successful career. You're vice president now at Prudential. How do you look at finding mentors for yourself now? Or do you? Do you still look for mentors? Many people think that, oh, well, you know, you get to a certain level within an organization, or you get to a certain point in your career success, and maybe mentorship or being a mentee slows down a little bit. What is your perspective on that? I know you said you did some work in executive coaching in your past as well, but I'm curious, how do you think more senior levels within organizations can look at being mentees?
This is a great topic, because more than ever, if we don't allow ourselves to be leaders as learners, I think we are going to be in trouble. I think the world is changing too fast for us to just rely on the same old dogmas and our beliefs. I talk a lot about the self-limiting beliefs. I think today leaders are in crisis. Most leaders know how to deal with the past. They might even know how to manage the present, but they are having a real hard time with the future. You can see the Gallup research, 20% of people are engaged. They keep decreasing. That percentage keeps decreasing instead of going up. But the forces and the dynamic forces influencing the leader's experience requires leaders to start being more open to learning from each other. And every time, I tell you this, every time a leader allows themselves to be open to new ways of thinking, or at least connecting in a personal way with the others, they grow exponentially. I had the experience. A few years ago, I start an executive team meeting. Executives were responsible for $17 billion businesses. There were 800 of them in the room. And somebody told me, don't do what you're planning to do, Wagner. And of course, I did it. Was to start the meeting doing a visualization exercise with the breathing exercise. They told me, don't do it, don't do it. They don't have the patience. Their attention span is 2 seconds. Don't do it. I did it. It lasted 3 to 5 minutes. It was incredible. You could hear a pin drop. And at the end of the presentation was about positive leadership. At the end of the presentation, I had a line of 40 people saying, I never heard anybody talk about this with me. Nobody ever talks about our mental health issues. Nobody talks about how we experience the stress of these changes and these transformations that we have to lead. It was incredibly reassuring how important it is to still be humane and still be open to learning at any stage of your career.
I really love that. Wagner, we have very similar experiences and paths. I did an executive leadership session where we did a session around centering, and we actually brought in a coach, and it was probably about a 30-minute session. And again, we're always so used to being very, a lot to talk about, long list of content and discussion and decisions, and taking a minute, especially now in senior level leadership, as you said, I think it's a really tough time for anyone who is a leader, but I really think also senior leaders have a lot of pressure on them right now. They have a lot of expectations, a lot of unknown in front of them. We all do. And so I think you're right. It's a great opportunity for senior level leadership to really think about how they can get support, guidance from peers, or as you said, from potentially from coaches. Well, actually, that's a good question. Do you think that there is a distinction between a coach and a mentor? And if you do, what would you say the difference is? Because I think those terms get used very interchangeably, but some people think that they're actually quite different. What is your perspective?
It's interesting. I don't want to contradict myself because I just talked about coaching circles as a new modality to help each other. But I think there is a distinction. I think that coaching engagement is always a contractual engagement that you enter with a specific goal. And usually a coaching process will help you attain your goals. And it's very focused on the relationship that you set up. You're asking a coach to actually guide you through something very specific, hopefully, because coaching without goals is just conversations. So mentoring is a little different because mentoring is the opportunity to have somebody always there. It's almost that really reassuring presence of somebody who is non-judgmental, somebody who is always present, somebody who is always accessible. And it's not a periodical session, it's not a scheduled thing that you do, but somebody, and that's the difference, I think, between the old mentoring. Old mentoring was like, you meet this many times a month or this many times a quarter. I think today you have to allow this mentorship to be a dynamic process that you reach out when you need, texting each other, because coaching, I think, is very different because of this agreement that you make towards a goal. Mentoring is the commitment that you make. It's different. Agreement and commitments are different.
That is so well said, because agreement and commitment, that is a really interesting way to look at it. And I also agree with you. The best mentors in my career have been ones that I could call a year in between having a conversation and say, Deb, one of my mentors, her name is Deb, and she's been a mentor of mine for many years, 10, 15 years. And I can call her after not talking maybe for 6 months, 8 months, and say, I really need your advice, your opinion on this. How would you handle it? And that's a long-term relationship that we have. And in a way, I mean, an unspoken agreement, but she can do the same thing with me, right? But it is flexible. It is changes with how we change in our careers. It's nothing saying that you have to have a mentor that you speak to every 2 weeks. And I think you're right. That maybe is the old style of mentoring or this mentor-mentee relationship. I'm curious if you're on your perspective with this. So we just did a significant amount of research around employee expectations for the future. We took a look at all of our data. And one of the findings that we had is that growth is an incredibly important aspect of expectations for employees for the future. Employees feel, in general, have felt that organizations have, over the past 18 months, not focused as much on individual growth because, I mean, obviously we've been through a very unexpected 18 months, and many organizations have been focused, I think every organization has been focused on resiliency and building for the future and just figuring out how to operate in a very unexpected world. But, you know, now things are building for the future, organizations are building for the future of the workplace. And one of the aspects that is really important to employees today is growth, particularly individual growth plans. And how an organization is going to commit and focus on the individual's development for 2, 3, 5 years in the future. And what is your perspective on organizations, the importance that companies should be putting on growth and a focus on growth with all of their employees at this point?
Now, that's interesting that you asked me this question. I've been talking about this with my team in Future of Work because we have a group that we set up, and very few companies do this, I think. they have career partners. We have career partners that meet with employees up to 3 times a year. It's really incredibly rewarding for the career partners and incredibly valuable to the employees who now have a confidential space to talk about growth, career, and all that. Well, there are a few things that are shifting. I think there is a shared accountability for growth and development. There is always a shared accountability. But I do believe that the organizations have the accountability for showing what are the skills, capabilities, and what are the expectations of the future. We are responsible for addressing the question, where should I lead my growth, my development? Where are the market value, the skills? Where are we going? And I need to adapt my development towards that. So we have the responsibility of first understanding what are the critical capabilities that we are building in the organization, what are the critical skills, and how people can be aware of that so they can make their own decisions. But also we need to create the conditions in which this growth can happen. And I think that's more important than focusing on individuals. We need to scale the ability to develop everyone. So in my view, is diversity and inclusion is very important to me. And I think to be inclusive, you have to be scalable. You can't start determining the growth of individuals because that becomes very paternalistic, to be honest. I think the companies have to open the ecosystem to transparency in where we are going so people can make their own decisions. I think that's the humans want autonomy. We know that, right? So the other thing that I think is important is what is the accountability you have as an employee? The accountability that you have is to be attuned to what's happening around you, to be able to open your mindset. We talk so much about growth mindset, but at the end of the day, you have to allow yourself to not be defined by a destination. I keep telling people when I mentor people, and it's good to have goals. It's good to have a destination that's not solid on the map. Allow yourself to take the opportunities that come to you. I tell in my own career, if I didn't have open eyes and ears towards all the detours and the opportunities that came to me, I wouldn't be as successful as I am because I would be narrowly seeking a destination. And that's not a good way to grow your career. So you see, there's a shared accountability. The individual has to develop a growth mindset to understand the opportunity. And companies have to be much more transparent about where we are going and what's valuable to our clients, customers, and employees.
On top of that, you recently published an article in early February, and there's a statement in there that really stood out to me that says, "The future workplace will be led best by those who understand the importance of letting their people fail and learn as they experiment new ways of working and being. But the work always starts with the development of self-awareness and empathy." I think that is so well said. And that's another aspect of mentorship that really resonated with me, was allowing my mentor helping me to understand that it's okay to fail, like allowing myself to fail and learn from it, especially when you're young in your career and you really want to do well and you fail, it really hurts. Like it's for some people, it can be very limiting. And that is, I really liked how you said that, because failure is such a critical part of growth. And I think having a good mentor and a good mentor relationship really helped me through these moments of failure in my career. I don't know if you had the same experience, but I think that is an important part of the mentor relationship.
It's painful, isn't it? When you think about your young selves, when I think about when I was in my early stages in my career, I was so fragile. There is no other word. It was fragile. Mm-hmm. Especially as an immigrant. And I love talking to people from other cultures, different upbringings, because there are so many of us who came from different frameworks, culturally speaking. And we have this vision that the American framework is perfection. And it's not. Now we know that it's no such a thing. There's no cultural definition of perfection, because there is no perfection. But what I like what you are saying is that mentors can really help us, can they? Because every time you know, if you try something new, there is somebody who is not judging you, you're halfway to recovery. because recovering fast requires you to understand that, yeah, your self-limiting beliefs on your left shoulder are telling you how bad you are and how not good enough you are. But the mentors and the good advice that you come from loving people around you is what sustains the recovery. But one thing I just said that I think is important, we refrain from saying the word love at work. And when I say it, people say to me, yeah, nobody talks about love at work. You do need to share love so people know there's psychological safety in the environment. It's incredibly important. I have somebody who was my mentee. She went to Mexico. She was an American woman. But early in her career, they sent her to a rotation in Mexico, which was such a big mistake. She didn't have the language. And it was harsh because the environment for the business was very difficult there. But I did see her afterwards. And she said, I want to come back to the United States. I want to join your team. It was leadership in management development at that time. And she did. And she failed terribly. She was a writer for us. She was promoting programs and things. It was so hard. She was so limited in the way she was writing about programs. She was not inspiring. She was very focused on doing the perfection as opposed to inspiration. And I had a hard time. At one point, I was even thinking like, this is not the right match. But applying empathy, the way you said, applying the idea that it's not about me, it's about her. And I have this really deep value. My role as a leader is to make you successful, period. I need to figure it out how to make you successful. And I did. I coached her. I mentored her. And I said, just be wild. Just do whatever comes to mind. Your friends, if you had to inspire your friends, I'm sure you're not going to write like this. How you want to write? Just write it. And little by little, she became so open to new ideas. She was so much fun. And we used to laugh so much. And today, she's very successful in communications, very successful. It's just that up until that moment, I didn't see myself having the responsibility to find a way to help her find herself. I was just thinking about what I needed, and she wasn't providing me. And that's when it comes the idea of leadership as sharing. I've been talking a lot about this. Leadership, we had those very distinctive phases, right? The telling phase. Leaders tell people, they communicate the strategy and all that. Then we start talking about role modeling. So we are showing, show how it's done, show it. But I think we're in the phase of sharing. We're entering a phase in history that we need to be humble enough and use our humility to share experience. Share our vulnerabilities, share power. Power is distributed. In distributed teams, shared power is the only way to get productivity, innovation, and inclusion. So all this comes to now to bring us to what you're talking about. Should leaders seek mentors? Yes, yes. We need everybody to be mentoring each other because now it's time to reject the idea that you need to pose as a perfect leader because you're going to be failing terribly. But this failure about not being open to learning is very different from the failures of allowing people to try something new, right? We have to be very discerning here because allowing people to fail is the best way to gain their engagement. I always talk to people, this is my favorite one. Be engaged, not attached. Be engaged fully in what you're doing, in the flow of things, but don't get emotionally attached to the product because you're going to be very disappointed. So I think to your point, all this comes to failure is part of growth. And I think leaders have to be accustomed to not feel threatened by the idea that others failed because it doesn't reveal how bad you are. It just reveals how good you are at handling failure.
Wagner, thank you so much for spending time with me today and talk about these very important aspects of development and your passion around mentoring. Thank you for sharing your personal stories with us as well. I love hearing people's stories, their perspective, their opinions, because when we hear other people's experience, I really feel it allows us to open up, think differently, and to start to experience life in general differently. And you said a lot of things today that are very much coming from the passion that you have, and I very much appreciate it. And it resonates with me, and just a very special thank you to you for sharing with us and spending some time with me today. This idea around mentorship, I feel, is just going to keep expanding, and I know the audience is really going to appreciate hearing your thoughts. So, Wagner, thank you very much for joining the conversation, and we should talk again in maybe a year and see how we're doing with mentorship.
Patrick, thank you so much for having me. And as you said, I'm very passionate.
I love it.
So I'm game. Yeah. I think people need to start opening up, reaching out. And to be honest, we should be open to people who reach out to us as well. So I always make sure that I always respond to anybody who reaches out to me. And I think that's how you create connections that people feel it's worth trying to make. So thank you so much. I appreciate what you do with this podcast as well. It's so important. I was listening to many of them, and I feel a little happier after listening on the one about happiness.
Yeah, that was a great one. We had a lot of fun. That was an excellent conversation, and I felt happier after that conversation as well. So, but I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So we will speak with you soon. Thanks, Wagner.
And that was Be More, a podcast by Peakon. Be sure to search for Be More in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or anywhere else that you get your podcasts from. And go ahead and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any future conversations. On behalf of the team here at Peakon, thanks for listening.